Hello and welcome to CyberTalk's audio podcast. Today I am joined by Martin O'Gorman, who is managing editor for Kerrang!.com and Q4Music.com, amongst others, who creates and manages successful music podcasts. I will be asking Martin some questions about how he produces podcasts and his experience working with online communities. Welcome, Martin.
Hello.
Thank you for talking to CyberTalk. How long have you been managing sites such as Kerrang!.com and Q4Music.com?
Well, I've been working on the internet side of titles like Kerrang! And Q for about 5 years, and I've been editing websites for the last four. So I've kind of worked through the dot-com boom and then the dot-com crash, and now everything's going back to everyone loves digital again, so I've seen it all happen, really.
Brilliant. So when did the first Kerrang! Podcast launch? Was it audio or video?
Well, the first Kerrang! Podcast was launched in November 2005, and it was basically an initiative from the magazine. They wanted to do something which was basically promoting the magazine. It was a marketing opportunity, but we wanted to do something a bit more. So it was just an audio podcast which would expand on what was in the magazine that week, and basically talk about all the features in the magazine, include some of the interviews that were in the magazine, and include the magazine staff talking about their favourite music of that week. So it was only about 2 or 3 months later that we launched a video podcast, which would go out monthly, and the audio podcast go out every week on Kerrang!, and the video podcast go out every month. And basically, it seemed like a logical progression to do a video podcast, because we've done a lot of video content before on the site, and it'd be nice to string it all together and send it out to people in a new way.
Brilliant. So can you tell us a little bit about the style of the Kerrang! Podcast and why they are so unique?
Well, the idea behind Kerrang! Was... sorry, you're going to edit this later?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to cough?
Yes. Feel free to cough.
Yeah, well, the idea behind the Kerrang! Podcast was really to take you behind the scenes of what happens in Kerrang!'s world, and rather than just have what we thought was quite a boring type of podcast, which a lot of people do, which is mainly radio shows with all the music taken out, which to me seems like a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
We would have a little bit of music, but also a lot of chat from the artists. And it was really a backstage kind of podcast, especially with the video podcast. We were taking people onto tour buses and in the wings at gigs and the dressing rooms and things like that. And really, it was behind the scenes, behind the velvet rope, as they say, to let people, kind of gate crash on what goes on in the world of rock. We've always been quite fortunate in getting a lot of good artists and a lot of good access, because they love Kerrang! And they want to do stuff for Kerrang!. So we've been very lucky.
So how did you overcome the record label rights issues?
Well, the labels have been very, very supportive, actually, because they see it as a very good marketing opportunity. I mean, the way they see it is, they can do their own podcasts and their own websites, but they're basically preaching to their own fans, preaching to the converted. But Kerrang! Being the biggest rock magazine in the UK, they're taking their artists to a brand new audience, So for us, it's a good way of breaking new artists, and for labels, it's a good way of breaking their new artists to our audience. So they were quite happy to let us have clips, occasionally full tracks. We tend to do shorter clips because of the recording rights issues, which are basically taken care of by our PRS license, MCPS license. But the labels are very, very pleased to do it.
Brilliant, that's good news. I understand Kerrang! Was number one in iTunes. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. It was we're very pleased with that. It's been number one a couple of times, and it's always the big artists such as Panic at the Disco, Angels on Airwaves, Take Back Sunday, people like Him are always very popular. Artists with a huge fan base, really, and they tend to send it right up the charts. We're always in the top 10 of the music podcasts on iTunes, so we're very pleased with the response, yeah.
Brilliant. And how do you keep subscribers to your podcast? Can you give us any tips?
Well, I think really the most simplest tip I can give is to do something regularly, and you build up a regular audience. It is like doing radio in a way. I know people listen to it at different times, but if they're expecting something to come into their iTunes on a Monday or whatever podcast reader they've got, or Friday afternoon or a particular time, if you do something regularly, then people are going to enjoy it and they're going to look for it. It's a bit like, the way I see it, is it's a bit like having email newsletters. It's stuff that you're going to expect and you listen to it when you want or you read it when you want. So that's one tip. And also to make it useful and actually marketed at the audience you're going for. I don't see any point in creating a podcast just for the sake of doing it. You have to have a purpose, because otherwise people won't listen. And we found that a lot with advertising. People would try and get advertisers to do podcasts, but no one will download advertising podcasts because, you know, people these days with Sky Plus tend to skip the adverts, you know, so they're not going to fall for that. So we wanted to make something that was useful, and equally, as we'll talk about the Q podcast, that was another idea behind that, was to do something that people really genuinely wanted.
So tell me more about the Q podcast and what type of style.
Well, the Q is very different. Q is audio only. Initially, that was launched May last year, 2006, and it was done as a weekly reviews podcast, because Q magazine is known as being the best review section in the country, if not the world. And what we were going to do was we were going to have a podcast that would go out every Monday. So whenever new releases came out on a Monday, and you wanted to go to HMV that day and buy something new, you'd get the Q podcast in your iTunes in the morning and listen to it, and we'd give you a little thumbnail review of the album and play you a little bit of the music. And sometimes we'd have a little bit of feature material. We'd have people like Keen and Kasabian in just to talk about their new material. So it was really, that was done especially to be useful. It was kind of a buyer's guide. It was quite difficult to do it every week because there was a lot of material that we needed to clear and get hold of. We need to get guests in. We need to clear music tracks. We need to clear those. And it was getting quite hard work. And also I think people, although they found it useful, they weren't really subscribing. The numbers weren't as good as we thought it could be compared to the amount of effort that was going into it. So what we've done in March this year is actually relaunch it as a monthly. And it's slightly different now in that it's a roundtable discussion with Paul Rees, the editor of Q magazine, and also two special guests. In the first podcast we did in March was James Dean Bradfield and Nicky Wire from Manic Street Preachers. And then one that's just gone live at the beginning of April was Manny from Primal Scream and Stone Roses and Kelly Jones from Stereophonics.
Brilliant.
So basically the guests and Paul Rees go through a selection of tracks from this month's new albums, also some good tracks that are bouncing around, pick the album of the month and basically review it on the podcast. So it's a nice little roundup of the month's music. And, you know, we're seeing that already. That's working much better. We did about 3,500 downloads in the first couple of days.
Wow, amazing, that is amazing.
Yeah, and also, you know, we get a lot of support from the fan base. So people like Stereophonics, people like Manic Street Preachers, they're all really keen because it's a unique radio show, really.
Yeah, brilliant. So do you use any cool browsing software to find podcasts?
Well, to be honest, I find the easiest is iTunes.
Right,
I think the way it works is very straightforward. The way things are categorised is good, and the way you can search on various things is also good. You can so many different search terms you can use, and I've always found things I was interested in. That's probably the best actual application to find podcasts for me. Other podcasts I just find purely by chance, you know, people recommend them or come across them on blogs and things like that.
Yeah, and do you subscribe to any other podcasts? Do you have any favourites?
I do. Yeah, there's quite a few. There's some of the sort of more high profile ones. So Russell Brand's podcast is good because I do like him as a comedian and a broadcaster. He's very good. But again, that is just part of his radio show. But sometimes there's extras on there. But it's basically it's a bit like the Listen Again idea of BBC sites where you can hear shows again. One of my favourite podcast is also a radio station. It's called WFMU, and they do a brilliant blog called Beware the Blog, but they also do podcasts of their own shows, and there's all sorts of weird things on there. They do lots of shows about a collection of singles from the indie singles from the 80s and 90s, and then really weird 78s and things like that. It's all a bit crazy. And the other one I've just actually started subscribing to is a thing called Generation Exploitation, which is a bit of a spin-off of WFMU, and it's even weirder. They're talking about the soundtrack to Sesame Street in the last one.
Brilliant.
Sesame Street and Spider-Man cartoons. So it's all a bit esoteric and offbeat, but it's funny, it's entertaining. And you wouldn't get that anywhere else. You wouldn't really get that on the radio. and you wouldn't certainly want to get it on television, not even on BBC Four. So it's a good thing to find.
Brilliant. And what is your favourite Kerrang podcast?
I think my favourite Kerrang one was the last video one we did, which was I think we did with around the launch of Sony PlayStation, PlayStation 3, and it was the climax of the Kerrang tour that was happening in January this year, and there was Sony had set up this special PlayStation room, a place called Three Rooms, and it was on the day of the final, the last day to the Kerrang tour at the London's Astoria. And basically, we invited a load of fans, readers, to come along on the day, and they met up with the bands that were on the Kerrang tour. They all played PlayStation 3. But then we did a lot of video interviews, and the climax of this was an interview with The Audition, who were one of the youngest band on the tour, these guys from San Francisco, I think. And they had a lot of fans there, and we just got them all round in a room and got the fans to ask them questions. It was a bit like Big Brother's Big Mouth. But you know, a rock version of that. It just worked out really well. It was totally impromptu. We didn't plan it or anything, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And it was just really good fun. And
sounds brilliant.
And then we got a really good feedback from the fans that were there, because they saw themselves and, you know, passed it on to their mates. So they had a good time.
Brilliant, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Martin, here at CyberTalk. Well, that's all for now. I hope you have found this audio podcast and cybertalk.org.uk useful. We'll see you in a moment. Bye.